Welcome, 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 my friends, my electronic engineering countrymen and women. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. We've got quite a lineup for you this week. We're talking about real-world solutions for SWAP-C for advanced TCA, a revolution in the gaming industry, and some serious drone coolness. So, without further ado, let's hit that ground running. First up, let's talk with Rob Persons and Shriek Ravidera from Artisan Embedded Technologies. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so first off for Rob, give my audience a brief update on what Artisan Embedded Technologies is all about.
Well, Artisan's really a company that's focusing on embedded space products. We typically focus on open systems, but that's not exclusive. We have some products that we're doing that's maybe a little less open, but really with the same kind of original intention to be a COTS product. That's our rail product called ControlSafe. And so everything centers around trying to enable our customers to add their value add to whatever products that they're trying to do and not have to do the basic underlying hardware. So some of the products that we're still very heavily involved with are VME. We've been doing this for 30 years. Originally started as Motorola Computer Group and have been doing it continuously from this point on. We have plans to actually supply products until 2025 for traditional marketplaces. We're very heavily still producing advanced TCA systems when we're seeing a transition, not really a transition, but an enhancement in the military types of applications utilizing it. We still sell quite a bit into the telecom space, but we're seeing a real uptick in the military sides of these applications. I mentioned ControlSafe for train safety critical types of applications, and we're starting to move into some more commercial types of space with PCI Express-based cards and systems. One of the big products right now is MaxCore, which allows you to put a lot of computing in a relatively small amount of space.
All right, Shriek, this is a question for you. You guys just worked with GameStream and Intel to create a new industry-leading cloud gaming solution. Super cool. So what part does Artisan play in this collaboration?
So in a sentence, GameStream is an innovative startup. In a sentence, they want to be the Netflix of gaming. So it's gaming as a service. It removes the need for, they want to remove the need for the set-top box or the appliance in the end user space. They're quite realistic. I think they're not expecting that every home will get rid of their Xbox or PS4 tomorrow. But in areas like hotels, hospitals, cruise ships, as an initial target market, those places could very easily and quickly offer gaming as an adjunct to their existing streaming, movie streaming service using the existing infrastructure that they have for the most part. Their business model is to go on a subscription basis. They don't want to spend lots of money on CapEx. Artisan has bought into that kind of shared risk concept of subscription. Uh-huh. So Artisan's MaxCore platform, which is a PCI Express-based server platform, takes multiple PCI Express cards. It's 3U high. It's very flexible. It's called MaxCore because it takes a lot of, it's very dense and it's very versatile. You can put any kind of, almost any kind of PCI Express cards in, whether they're Artisan or a third party. What it's doing here is very much serving the graphics side of the game stream. So game stream has licensed lots of premium games. So they want to be like Netflix. They want to have the content and provide that premium gaming experience. So it's not just any games. It's the Artisan server, the MaxCore server, that essentially provides the computing platform, both in terms of serving the graphics and receiving the control from the controller at the on the other side. It's running at the moment. They're in trials, they're in labs with current generation Intel processors. With the new Intel 8th generation, it's the H-series processor. What Intel has done is put together one of their core processors, 8th generation processor, with a Radeon graphics processor. So they've taken kind of best of breed general purpose processing with best of breed graphics processing, put it into the same unit. That will be, when they're available very soon, on PCI Express cards. You put a stack of those into somewhere between 12 and 15 of those into a MaxCore server, and a single MaxCore server can host up to, depending, 60 concurrent gaming sessions, which would normally take a pretty big rack of traditional rack mount servers to do. And you have all the associated cost and OPEX and maintenance with that. Right. They've estimated that that is roughly double the density of doing density and power consumption. So it's half the double, you know, it would be double the power density, half the power consumption of trying to do the same thing with kind of a traditional rack mount server. So it takes the GameStream concept and their offering to those end users and to their customers to a different level. It, much like, again, not making too many comparisons with Netflix, but there's a point at which it reaches kind of critical mass and suddenly it's really, really exciting and interesting. And we're getting to that point now with kind of gaming as a service. You hear about everything as a service now, and actually gaming, I think, is the next industry or the next market that will go that way in terms of streaming and dealing with its infrastructure in a different way.
Awesome. Okay, back to you, Rob. Now, you gave a presentation at the Embedded Tech Trends Conference this year called SwapC Solution Using ATCA. A real-world application. So I love real-world applications on my show. Tell me more about this application and the challenges you were addressing.
Sure. This is actually a situation. We have a customer, CSCI, in Virginia, who was working on a research project, basically, for the Marines to attempt to put together a very dense computing system that they could actually use for forward deployed applications. So the actual system itself is called DASCAN. And what it's intended to do is to put together a system where they can collect sensor data that's out in the field, be able to tag it with metadata, and actually have innovative ways to be able to pull that data up for analysts to review and then actually help direct troops. They had done a research project, and I was helping them with this to actually analyze the benefits of advanced CCA against maybe a stack full of servers. And that was really what my presentation was about, is the comparison and what made them decide on advanced CCA, but do it from the perspective of SwapC. So you wouldn't typically think of advanced CCA as being a candidate for a size, weight, and power, since it's quite large and can be quite heavy. But compared to a rack full of servers, it actually has quite a bit of advantages. And what they ultimately saw was they could get to a two-man portable sort of box that was probably 40% lighter than what you would see with a comparable set of servers, which also was 30% better in power usage. And in the case of anything that's forwardly deployed, power is critical. It may not be critical in an enterprise kind of environment where you have a server farm where they have, in a sense, unlimited power and cooling. When you're actually deployed, you have to be very concerned about the cost of moving fuel because you're running off of generators, and fuel is very, very expensive when you're forward deployed. Because in some cases, if you're in a very hostile environment, diesel's being flown in to actually feed your generators. And so that was part of that presentation, was to show the comparisons and show that the reason that CSCI finally went with an ATCA solution is they were able to get all those things together in a single box that's still two-man portable.
All right, it's time for an off-the-cuff question. I'm going to head to you, Rob. Now, I heard you have Disney World annual passes. First, absolutely jealous. Second, what's your first thing? Like, if you're going to head directly to one thing at Disney World, do not pass go, to go directly to, what is it?
I find the nearest place to get a beer, because I have been doing Disney since I was a little kid, and I am not the strong Disney freak that my family is, and so I'm there for moral support, and I get moral support from maybe a beer or two at some of the finer places.
Yes, I know exactly where to get a beer and California Adventure in California. Okay, well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much, Shriek and Rob.
Thank you very much for having us.
Glad to be here.
Did you hear the one about the guys who built a drone with a bathtub? Yeah, file this under holy cannoli, is that a bathtub in the sky? News you may have missed. Now, these intrepid designers, who are actually three 20-year-olds from Germany named Johannes, Philip, and Eric, go by the moniker the Real Life Guys. And they have designed a whole lot of awesomely strange, and yes, they really do work, creations. Their tagline is creating inspirational videos about crazy actions in real life. And yes, that is true to the hilt. And one of the best parts? They get their ideas from their fans. So, their strange engineering contraptions have included a submarine built with a little help from two bathtubs, a hovercraft, and the world's smallest hot air balloon. In this year alone, these crazy kids have transformed one of their bathtubs into an amphibious vehicle and then launched it into the Rhine River, which was promptly stopped by the police. Also this year, they have attached motors to their bicycles so they could drive their bikes in water. And yes, it worked, and they kludged an F5 jet to a bathtub and drove that bathtub over a field. Until the police came. Yes, I'm sensing a pattern here. I'm guessing the police department in their neck of the woods knows them by first name. So, as you can probably imagine, I've been a fan for a while. And my favorite creation by far has been their bathtub drone, which they took to the air just to prove that they could indeed get from point A to point B and back in a flying bathtub. And yes, they stopped and bought a sandwich at a nearby bakery at point B. And yes, as you can probably imagine, not all of their projects go as planned. The police make several appearances in their videos, and there is another video of their first submarine, taking on water. Not fun. But overall, for a couple of kids from Germany whose slogan is to inspire you to go out of yourself and experience something in real life, I'd say it's working. So what if you're feeling inspired and want to build a drone for yourself? Not quite feeling the bathtub angle, I dig it. But what if you want to get a little fancy and build an autonomous drone? All right then, I have four words for you. Autonomous Flying Development Kit. Bam. And no, the kit doesn't actually fly itself. You're gonna have to build it first. Well, if you're in the mood to start building your own autonomous drone, I have a perfect brand new episode of Chalk Talk that I'm super pumped to share with you. In Intel Aero Ready to Fly Drone, I sit down with Paul Germont-Prez of Intel, and we chat all about a new drone development ecosystem from Intel. Drones are complex systems with incredible versatility, and developing software and hardware can be tricky. But I think this Chalk Talk will definitely get you on your way to building that drone of your dreams, or at least something close. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on EE Journal, or check out YouTube, keyword EE Journal. And if you want to see the real-life guys flying that bathtub to get a snack, of course, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. They even have a sponsorship page on patreon.com. If you support them financially, you can give your input on what cool stuff they create next, be entered in a raffle for a Phantom 3 drone, and get inside information on their designs. Pretty cool. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 16th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.